Welcome to the bonus content of my interview with Bridget Jackson Buckley. I was not able to fit this in the first part, so I am just having a separate download. I was supposed to have this up on Wednesday. I know, I apologize for being late, but here it is. And so we talk about judgment. We actually have a brief conversation about my grandmother, and Bridget opened my eyes to help me see how judgmental I was toward my grandmother. And we talked about how we tend to be very judgmental of ourselves, and perhaps if we lessen our self-judgment, our judgments of others will lessen. We also talk about how to stand in our authenticity. So I hope you enjoy this bonus content with the author and very wise Bridget Jackson Buckley.
And you know what's really interesting too is the behavior that you don't like. Like, for example, I had a grandmother who was very bitter about whatever, like stuff from way back when. And so, and we lived with her for most of my teen years. And I just started to like dislike her for her bitterness. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't stand it. She's always so bitter. But what started happening was I started to be bitter myself. I was like bitter toward her, but my bitterness really started to kind of take me over, and I started acting like her. So if you're not careful,
because there's also that element of, while you may think it's your place, it is not your place to judge her. Mm-hmm. And like, what type of experience, like, she's a sovereign being. Mm-hmm. She the ability to choose what she wants to experience in this life and how she will choose it. And if that is where she is, that's where she is. And I don't say that like just because it sounds pretty and cute, but I've had to deal with that myself, you know, with some of the elders in my life, of really, really moving into a place of acceptance. Mm. This is where he is. And it's not that he's here and I'm here, but just honoring that people can experience life the way they choose to, and we are where we are. You know, there's no better or worse. I mean, you may in your mind, you know, we're taught to label things because we're trying to have a place for it in our mind. We're trying to make it make sense in our world, in our perception. But you couldn't possibly know all of the reasons and experiences that have led to your grandmother being bitter. You can't. There's so much that was unshared with you. Mm-hmm. Talking to some elders in my life that I've known my entire life, and then having conversations with them and like, I never even knew that. And it's like, that's why he's so pissed off all the time. Like, right. And so it's just that little nugget of like, okay, there is much more to this being than I think I could ever know. Just like there are some parts of myself that I keep reserved, and maybe only my husband may have experienced it, you know, but they have their experiences, they have their perceptions, and they've had all these interactions and the unconscious, you know, values and beliefs that were placed into them that maybe they didn't examine. All of this is making up this persona, this person. Mm. Like, it's not our role to come in and say, well, you should be this or you should be that. All you can control is how you are going to respond. Mm-hmm. And then the situations in my case, I am choosing continually to be non-judgmental of this person and to walk into the room with more compassion for his life, for his experiences, and the possible wisdom that I can glean, you know, from his life experience.
To be non-judgmental of other people, do you first need to be non-judgmental of yourself? Because I feel like we're very judgmental of ourselves.
Yeah, that self-talk can be serious as to bringing about problems. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Hmm. Really good point. I mean, there's so much judgment in society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is.
External and internally. And it's like, if we can just start to loosen that, to loosen it just a bit. Like, my way is not the way. Hmm. I mean, it's my way, but it may not be your way.
Right, right. Bridget, do you think self-love
is that possible? Is it really possible to truly love yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are so many, because I've heard people say self, how is that even, how can you love yourself? There's just, you're always.
That is the question.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think it is because of all of the thoughts that run through our minds that are abusive. I think you kind of alluded to this earlier, most of the time. And we're just so used to subscribing to those thoughts. The notion of somehow reversing all of that and coming to this realization that we love ourselves unconditionally and deeply and completely seems off the wall to some people.
Well, just because you've been engaging in a behavior forever doesn't mean you should continue. Hmm. I mean that it's actually working for you. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, spirituality, the path of the heart, understanding what is the self and what is not the self. To hate yourself is not a part of being, you know, an expression of God, an expression of the divine intelligence. Like there's no room for that in that. So it's a process of letting all of these labels that have been placed possibly by society as well that you have agreed to in placing these labels on yourself, like, I don't own a home, I don't own the Mercedes, therefore I'm not. That's something you're agreeing to. It's not true. Mm-hmm. You're less than. What's true is if you touch fire, you're going to get burned. Mm-hmm. Believe in gravity, but you are at the effect of it. But all of these other thoughts that you're just thinking, I should look like this, I should be this, I should live here, I should go there, I should buy this. Those are just thoughts. Those are not truths. And it's just a matter of what you choose to believe for yourself and place on yourself. Hmm. And if you believe that there is something inherently wrong with you and that it is not possible to love yourself because there's something inherently wrong with you, that is exactly what you are going to experience, more ways to not love yourself.
Can we talk about
experience?
Yeah, because now, like, so if there's something, like if you feel that something is wrong with you innately, I mean, a lot of us, I don't know. I want to say a lot of us just don't know how to get to the root of that, and we might need professional help.
Like, some people might, absolutely.
I feel like there's just this big stigma against therapy. I think it's getting a little better as the years move forward. I've noticed like now therapy is becoming a thing that's more accepted, but mm-hmm. even so it's kind of, I mean, I had a therapist for a while and I was apprehensive about telling people because I didn't want people to think I was a nutcase.
So maybe possibly, you know, therapy could definitely help, but also to contemplate being concerned with what other people think.
Yeah.
I mean, that one was one for me too, because even just talking about this type of stuff, you know, a lot of people that I know are not interested in this, but I'm very interested in it. And even I dealt with like, what are they going to think? Why are you concerned? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that come from? Is there a need for approval? Is there a need for acceptance? Why do you need people to accept what you're doing and how you feel? I mean, those are just some questions. Of course, I'm not saying that it's easy, because some aspects of it have been more difficult for me, but I'm also moving into a more truthful expression of who I am, because I'm talking about this stuff more. And I mean, even cutting off my hair, like I just cut my hair off like 3 days ago. Like
what?
Expression, like really wanting to be true, like this is who I am. This is what I'm interested in. This is what I look like in a natural state, like really showing up. And it's like, when you do these things, you are on the path to self, because you're just honoring who you are. And it doesn't mean that there's no room for growth, that there are still layers that need to fall away. All of that is there, but you are putting forth a sincere effort to be the best expression of Ebony that you can be, you know? And there may be some people that fall away, but there are going to be some people who come.
Mm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, we're all dealing with that. But I think this time on the planet where we're really having our illusion shattered before our very eyes, you know, social systems disintegrating before our eyes. Mm-hmm. Thought we're doing certain things or doing the total opposite, like us wanting more honesty and authenticity, you know, from politicians or even that whole governmental system. Like, all of this is a call for truth and honesty, not just for them, but for all of us, you know? And I do believe as you stand in more authenticity, like I said, it's just an honoring of who you are.
And how do we learn to, I know I'm asking all the hard questions, huh, Bridget? Because how do we learn to fully accept who we are? Does it come with, because you know what I was thinking when you were talking right now? I was thinking, I'm sorry, I have allergies and my nose keeps bothering me, but I was thinking of Byron Katie. I'm sure you've.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And her, you know, I remember she said that we spend so much time in other people's heads, mm-hmm. trying to figure out what they're thinking, and we just need to stay out of their heads, because we can never know what someone is thinking anyways, totally. Yeah. So is it first learning how to mind our own business, our own heads, and stay out of other people's heads, like the first step toward fully accepting you for you? Because most of our perceptions of ourselves come from other people, what other people are mm-hmm, saying about mm-hmm, us, mm-hmm. or we think they're saying about us.
I think that it's a process of, like I said, unlearning, like, what's really not you, and really, really examining why you're doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. and values underneath what you're doing. Why are you doing this? Why do you need this? Is it because you are trying to get, I have a little exercise for this in the book. I can't remember what chapter it was, but it was like I just keep drilling down with why. Mm. You know, I want to, I don't know, own a mansion. Why? Well, then we'll have space. Why do you need space? Well, everybody can be there. Why does it matter if everybody, like, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, you just right. keep asking the why, drilling, like, why do I care what they think? Because I value their opinion. Why do I value their opinion? Well, because these people I love and these people I want their respect. Why do you want their respect? Just keep with the why until you can get down to something that clarifies, like, what's underneath all of those layers of those beliefs and actions that may not be yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Wasn't that insightful? Bridget is full of all kinds of wonderful nuggets of knowledge and wisdom. So I hope that you were able to take away something from this part of our conversation, particularly, well, all of it really, standing in your authenticity and judgment, how we tend to just be judgmental of everybody, including ourselves. So thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you visit my website, zazo.com, for my, I think it's 7 or 8 takeaways from my conversation with Bridget Jackson Buckley. Also, you can subscribe to my newsletter at zazo.com. You can follow me on Instagram at Motivation to Write, also Facebook at Motivation to Write, or Twitter at Ebony Haywood. And tune in coming up very soon, Saturday, which I suppose is tomorrow, technically, depending on what side of the country you're on. I will have Dr. Christine Kissinger and as a guest, and we will also be talking about meditation. So that is a wonderful conversation that I hope you tune into. Okay, thank you so much. Sorry, I don't have all the fancy music for this download, all the intro outro stuff, but you'll get that in the next episode. Okay, bye-bye.